Our study tonight will focus on James chapter 5, verse 7 and verse 8. Let me read to you from God's word. Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Amen. May God bless us in the reading of his most holy and sacred word of life. We thank God that the Lord has always been very patient with us. And patience is indeed a virtue. This word patient, though it is translated from the Greek word into the English word patience, but very often that Greek word is usually translated in another Greek word or two Greek words, long-suffering. And so this is not just patience, but long patience, a patience that stretches, where the focus is on its endurance. We live in an age and time where many things can cause us to lose our patience. And so what we see from the first part of verse 7 is, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Why didn't the Bible say, be patient therefore, brethren, until the Lord calls you home? Would that not be more personal? And instead, the Lord says, unto the coming of the Lord. And so we realize that the extent of our patience as we serve the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth is until the Lord Jesus Christ returns or come again. Why did the Lord emphasize that and not the end of our lives? Let's look at what are some of the stumbling blocks that may cause us to lose patience. Now, patience for a moment in time, patience for a week or even a month is very possible for many people. And in some cases, you don't even need to be a Christian to have that kind of patience. But when you and I think of patience as mentioned in this text, be patient, therefore, brethren, from one Christian to another, unto the coming of the Lord. It is a lifetime of long suffering, of extended patience. Now that is divine. That is Christian patience. If you are asked to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ on earth for 4 decades, like in some of the Old Testament prophets, such as Daniel, definitely more than 4 decades. In fact, his ministry lasted 70 years, 7 decades. And then men like Jeremiah, also more than 40 years of ministry. And to have that kind of long-suffering, that kind of extended patience is what this text is all about. That's why it is unto the coming of the Lord. Because some of the things that trip us, that will cause us not to have long patience or long suffering, would include threats, pain, persecution. But above all else, other than pain and the threat of the loss of material things, freedom and life, that may frighten us into giving up, no longer desire to hold on to our life of holiness, but a compromise so that the pain and the loss of a comfortable life, of freedom to do what I want, will not be taken away from me. And so we may give up. But above all these, I believe the greatest hindrance to our long patience is to have fellow believers giving up all around us. And so when we see them giving up, when you see them no longer wanting to walk the straight and narrow path, the Bible described them as backsliding. But we do not realize the impact of people who backslide, especially when they had been leaders in the church. And because of whatever trial or difficulty in their lives or whatever disappointment, they want to give up and throw in the towel. And that kind of self-centered and selfish reason, not thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ or how their lives will impact the lives of others who once upon a time they protected, they looked after, they cared for as leaders. And now they just simply want to drop everything and become an ordinary member for whatever reason. And sometimes not even just be an ordinary member. They will leave the church and they will turn their back on the faith by attending some of these bad apostate churches, compromising churches. And these members that they once upon a time protected and looked after would be wondering, what happened? Why would my teacher, why would my elder, why would my deacon, why would my pastor turn his back on the Lord Jesus Christ and forget, surrender, give up all the conservative doctrines that he once upon a time earnestly contended for? Why is he now attending churches that no longer believe the Bible is perfect? And then when they arrive there, they deceive themselves and live in delusion by saying that they are not like that. Well, once upon a time, not too long ago, they castigated these churches. They put these churches up on a banner to warn others to stay away from these churches because these churches are immoral. They say that they believe in God, but the God they believe in teaches the Bible has mistakes. So how could it be the God of the Scriptures? But now, in the closing moments of their lives, they attend these churches, they embrace these churches, they support these churches. And some of them even crossed the line into charismatic churches, and they were once upon a time BP pastors. It's these actions that will cause many to give up the Lord Jesus Christ, where they will lose their patience, discouragement. Now, that is the attempt of the evil one. And so now when you have these professing believers, we call them now, why would they become tools and pawns of the God of this world and be used by him to stumble and to shake the faith of the people of God that they once upon a time used to care for, used to love, and used to protect? And now they become the one who will stumble them. And that is why the Lord says, be patient, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. If the Lord just simply says unto the death of the believer, you know what will happen? We may most likely behave like Elijah, saying to the Lord, Lord, I want to give up. Take me home. I don't want to serve anymore. Since the word of God says, be patient until you take me home. Well, I want to go home now. And when the Lord tried to discourage Elijah to change your mind, to tell him to change his mind because he wanted to give up based upon the wrong reason. He thought he was all alone in Israel. And the Lord told him, there's 7,000 who have not yet bowed their knees to Baal. You're not alone, Elijah. And then the Lord also corrected his theology. He thought that by the doing of miracles, the people of Israel would be convicted and converted. But that is not our responsibility. That was not the domain of ministry that the Lord had given to us as his servants. Conviction of hearts and transformation of lives, that is God's domain. Our responsibility and domain of ministry is to be a faithful witness and do our part. And whether people will be impacted or people are going to be angry with us and the word of God will fall on them like water off a duck's back, that is beyond our control. Our responsibility before God is to be faithful. But Elijah wanted to cross the line into changing the hearts and lives of the people by the demonstration of miracle. And the Lord educated him and told him, it is by the still small voice of the Spirit of God, not by the working of miracles that people are saved and born again and turn their hearts from idolatry to Christ. It is by a deep conviction of hearts. And despite all these teaching from the Lord himself, Elijah insisted, "I do not want to serve anymore." And you and I know that the Lord will not force any of his servant, because if with this attitude of Elijah, and if he were to continue to remain on earth, not wanting to serve any longer, what would become of Elijah's life and testimony? Where up to that point in time, his life and witness was tremendous. People knew of his fiery preaching and message, backed up by many miracles with fire as the focus. Elisha, his successor, with water as the focus. But Elijah said, "I don't want to serve anyone." That's why the Lord cannot say, "Be patient until the Lord takes you home," because very often in the face of great challenges, great adversities, that's where our patience will be tested, and that's where our patience will be most needed. But if the Lord says, "Until the Lord takes you home," then we'll say to the Lord, "I surrender, take me home now. I don't want to continue anymore, take me home." And that's why the Lord says, "No, not when I take you home, but when I return." So don't use the "take me home" end of your life as an excuse to stop serving and to not want to be patient. Patience is something that has to be experienced in order for it to become a reality, for it to be strong. Patience is not something that can be strengthened in the life of a believer without trials, without adversities. The greater the adversity against us, the stronger will our patience be. But the Lord knows the level or degree of adversity that will come our way in order to strengthen our patience, because the Lord will never allow any temptation or adversity or trial to be above or beyond the measure of our faith. That is the Lord's assurance and promise in 1 Corinthians 10:13. "For patience is common to all believers. But trust in the Lord's faithfulness, for he will never allow any of his children to be tempted above that which they are able to bear. But with every temptation, he will make a way of escape that we'll be able to bear under it." But then why do we have to stumble and fall then under times of patience? That's because we fail to trust him. When we fail to trust him in what the Lord has assured us, according to 1 Corinthians 10:13, it's not God's fault. The Lord has assured us, just like every father, mother would never allow their child to carry a weight that is beyond their child's strength to lift up and to put on his shoulders. No parent in their right mind would do that to a child, and to put that load on top of the child's shoulders and then crush the child and break his collarbone and break his neck. No parent in their right mind would ever do that to their child. And so our Heavenly Father is a million times better than us in looking after us. And since we know how to look after our own children in that way, what makes us think that our Heavenly Father will not do something similar and even better than us? Perfection. Because you and I may not know the strength of our children correctly. We only estimate, guesstimate. But with the Lord, he knows the measure of our faith to its minutest detail. And so he will allow trials and adversities to come our way accordingly. And that's why the extent of our patience is until the Lord returns. And it has to last a lifetime. And whenever we stumble and fall, we have to repent and come back. We must come back because of the Spirit of God who dwells in us, because we have a loving Heavenly Father with his hands stretched forth, waiting for us to return like the prodigal son. And he will, because of his love for us, chastise us until we come home to him and embrace him. And that is why the extent of our patience is until the Lord returns. And that's why tonight's topic is on the need for patience. We all need this. In these last days, suffering challenges, like trials and difficulties from loved ones, from colleagues, from friends. They are real. And they are the adversities that will really test our patience, our long-suffering, more than anyone else on this earth. Strangers, they will not be able to stretch our patience because they are strangers. They have no hold over our heart. The people who have the strongest hold over our heart, our soul, are the ones that can become our worst enemy. Because when they do wrong, when they are the ones who will turn their back and undermine our life and our ministry, when the congregation members that you're prepared to live for and to give your sweat and your tears to serve, to help them grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then they are the ones who turn around and slander you and bite the hand that try their best to feed them. It hurts. The wounds are deep. And that's where the patience of the Lord will be most needed. Like in the time of Elijah, when he was pursued by Jezebel, not one Israelite came to help him. And that's why he was so disheartened and discouraged. And we are talking about millions of Israelites, because all of them were fearful of Ahab and Jezebel. And so Elijah had to flee and run for his life, completely overwhelmed and disheartened. And he cried to the Lord, "Take me home." And that's why the Lord says, "Be patient until I return." Would you do that for Jesus' sake until the Lord returns? That no matter what trial or difficulty, what adversity that you may be facing right now, it could be an illness, it could be a good friend who had now become an enemy, it could be someone that you love dearly, but now that person hates you, whatever it is, the person you want to give your life for, and that person is now the one who wants to tear you down and bring you. And the Lord says, you hold on to your life of holiness. You keep on trusting in me, the Lord says, and do not allow yourself to be moved. Be patient until I see you face to face. Would you do that? Because the reward of that patience is compared to a farmer. Verse 7b to verse 8. Behold, the husbandman, and he worked very hard. He will till the ground the moment it is time. He knew exactly how much time it takes for him to plant the seed and put it into the ground for it to grow and bear fruit in the time of harvest. It cannot be too early. It cannot be too late. In the land of Palestine, the signal will be the early rain, and they have to begin on time for the early rain. And then they will have to watch for the latter rain to come to water the fruit just before they ripen, so that the fruit, when it begins to appear on the trees, it will be rich, it will be juicy, it will be sweet. That means the husbandman, which is the farmer, has to be very precise when he begins to till his ground. He must calculate how much of the ground that he owns he wants to grow this particular fruit tree, this particular crop. And once he has determined and decided, he will have to time himself perfectly. How much work can I do per day? How many servants do I have to help me? How many of my sons are strong enough to help me? And how much of the ground can I till it, prepare it for it to put in the seed, because when winter comes, the ground will be hardened. And then at the end of winter, spring will begin. And then that's where the ground begins to soften. And then the early rain will come. And that's where he timed himself perfectly. And then he will begin to start to till the ground. The husbandman wait for the precious fruit of the earth. And once he put in the seed, he will water it, and then he will wait for the latter rain to come to do his best to water the entire field. Rain from heaven sent by his Lord. And then at the right time, when it is fruit season, he will see all the fruits appear. He will see the corn, the wheat, the crops, all will appear at the right time. He knows, because he is an husbandman. He knows when harvest time is. It's summertime. That's harvest time. You put in, you wait, and the precious fruit, more or less guaranteed, if everything falls into place. And that's why reward in patience. This patience is that of a husbandman, whereby the precious fruit of the earth is guaranteed, because he did his part. God will do his part, and the result, precious fruit. And hath long patience for it until he received the early and the latter rain. You see? Be ye also patient. You see? Same. This is not the patience of a soldier. I mean, they also have their patience. It is said that, you know, a sniper, a liar, right? In the Bible, he's called a liar, an ambusher. A liar, L-I-E-R, not L-I-A-R. Someone who lies down and waiting to ambush your enemy. They need a lot of patience. They cannot be impatient. They could just simply lie there, and they have to tolerate if there are insects and ants and mosquitoes, and if they have to do their business, all these things they may even have to forego, especially if they know that the enemy is about to appear. And they will have patience. They will suffer all kinds of inconvenience, the hot sun, the cold night rain, whatever it is, they just simply stay at their spot. This is the best spot for ambush, for the sniper, whatever it is. By the end of it, there is no precious fruit. That patience may allow him to kill his prey, his target. And that's not the kind of patience the Lord wants us to compare ourselves with. And that's why he picked the husbandman's patience, where the precious fruit is guaranteed. You know how encouraging that is? That what you and I do on this earth, patiently holding on to our life of holiness, what will be some of the precious fruits that can come out of your life when you endure patience for decades with the help of the Lord himself and the Spirit of God dwelling in your heart, with all that the Lord has equipped you with, the indwelling of the Spirit of God and the love of Christ constraining you? Sinners may come to know the Savior. Your loved ones who are at home who are not believers, they will look at your life and they will be amazed. What are you made of? What kind of person are you with that kind of patience? It's from heaven. It's out of this world. Literally, it's out of this world. They've never seen that kind of patience before. But you have them. By the grace and the mercies of God, you can. This is not a patience of a perfect life. This is a patience of a holy life. So that when you make mistakes, when you stumble, when you wake up on one day and you stumble and you had not been patient enough, and then you go up and you apologize and you make good, and they are also shocked by that kind of humility. Sinners would be saved. And these sinners could be your parents, your sons, your daughters, your colleagues, your friends in school. That's the precious fruit You can save them out of hell and lake of fire. You can save them from a life of eternity where they will experience excruciating pain and gnashing of teeth with no end in sight. You can save them from hopelessness, because in hell, in the lake of fire, there is no hope of getting themselves out. That's the reward. That's the precious fruit. That's why the Lord compared our patience with that of a husbandman, not a soldier, not a sniper. But to help us realize how rewarding it is, not so much for yourself per se, in terms of dollars and cents, but something far greater, that lives could be turned around and help them out of a life of sin into a life of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're going to see you in heaven, and they're going to embrace you, and they're going to thank the Lord because of your holy witness and how you endured and how you were patient and how you patiently face all the adversities, and whether how they try to assault you and they try to do their utmost to destroy you. You continue to show patience and love for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. You know, my guess and my opinion, of course, is that one of the first persons that the Apostle Paul meet in heaven that he is going to embrace, I believe it would most likely, it could very well be Stephen. You know Stephen, right? One of the seven deacons, whose life of ministry was not very long, but it was full and it was very rich. Because as long as his life and his ministry was recorded in the Bible, it continued to impact and bless many people, even though he's no longer walking around. But because of the Lord's record of his short and amazing and powerful testimony, all he did was to preach the Lord Jesus Christ, and he ended being stoned to death. And the young man Saul was there to witness and to hear everything that Stephen did and said. And all he did was to pray to the Heavenly Father to forgive these people who stoned him. Could you imagine the kind of impact it had on this young man called Saul? And then soon after that, in Acts chapter 9, what happened was in Acts chapter 7, the Lord Jesus Christ met up with him, that is Saul, and saved him. Would you be surprised that when you arrive in heaven, and it is said and testified by the Apostle Paul that Stephen, his life of long patience, his life of endurance, he did not pick up a stone and throw back at the ones who stoned him. He just let them stone him to death. And all he did was to pray for them in return. Would you be surprised that the Apostle Paul would share with you that Stephen's life and testimony and his patience in the face of death touched him? And Paul was one of the precious fruits that the Lord used Stephen to lead to Christ. Would you have such fruits in your own life? When you arrive in eternity, you have many, many who would come and embrace you and to thank you for your patience, and that impacted them. And then they will come to you and stand before you and say to the Lord, "We are the precious fruit of the patience of this disciple, O God, my Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank thee for this servant of God, for this disciple of Christ, for his patience." Would that be you? Would your own children say that of you, mom and dad? Children, would your parents, who were once upon a time non-believers, say that of you, sons and daughters, because of your patience and your long suffering in enduring whatever challenges and difficulties and adversities that you're facing? That's the reward. And then, of course, we cannot ignore or leave out brothers and sisters in Christ. Because of your patience, just as the Apostle Paul shared in the book of Philippians, how he was in prison and how his courage for Jesus' sake, he was in prison, strengthened and gave a lot of backbone and strength to many of the believers, young believers, who were aware of his testimony. He endured all the way into imprisonment. All he needed to do was to stop preaching Christ and he would be a free man. But he stood his ground. He held on to the high calling of Christ Jesus, his Lord, in his life. And his patience, his long-suffering, his endurance, even in prison, strengthened the faith of like-minded brothers and sisters in Christ. And they too saw in Paul an example for themselves to follow. And so when you arrive home in heaven, there will be many young believers, babes in Christ, middle-aged in Christ, look up to you and come up to you and shake your hands and hug you because of your patience, because of your long-suffering, your endurance in the face of persecution and all sorts of threats. And you held on. And you did not turn your back on the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, what could discourage us the greatest would be fellow servants who turned their back on Christ in their evening years. We thought that they were friends, co-laborers, brothers and sisters in Christ, at least for life, until we all serve together, till the Lord calls us home. But somewhere after 20 years of ministry and service, they turn their back because of sin, because of the love of the world. And that's what the Lord says, the extent of your patience is until my return. But remember the reward of your patience, the precious fruit that will come. It is the patience of a husbandman, not a soldier, not a sniper, but a husbandman. It's not going to be in vain. The Lord says, I will use you just as the husbandman's hard work and labor. The Lord will send the rain and the precious fruit are all assured. And likewise, your life of patience will be used by the Lord. And sometimes you may not even know it while you're here on earth. But you will know it for sure in eternity, because we do not do it just to see people's lives change. Because the danger of such a motivation is that when nobody is watching and then we do nonsense. So we do not just simply do it for the sake of witnessing, for the sake of others. We do it because it is the right thing to do. And when the lives of people are touched and changed and transformed because of the power of Christ, sometimes the Lord may not allow us to see it or to know it. But you will know when you arrived home in heaven. And then you're going to have fellow brothers and sisters in Christ opening up their heart to you and share with you in all honesty and sincerity and transparency because of what you have done in this, because of your patience in that time, in this area of your life. You have encouraged me when I was down. You lift me up. You didn't say anything, but by looking at your life, by your action and how you held on to the faith and how you earnestly contended for the faith, it strengthened my resolve to do the same. They may not say it to your face while you were on earth and they were on earth, but you did impact them and God used you to impact them for his own namesake. You may not be aware of it. You don't need to be aware of it. But when you arrive home in heaven, all these precious fruits that the Lord has given into the Heavenly Father, given to the Heavenly Father, is because of your holy witness and testimony for Christ. The extent of our patience till the Lord returns, the reward of our patience, precious fruits. And finally, the manner of our patience. So what exactly is this patience, you may ask? Last part of verse 8, establish your hearts. What it means is make your heart very stable. That's the key. Stabilize your heart, because when our hearts are moved, right? Discouragement means our hearts are moved. Maybe that person is right. Maybe that elder is right to give up the doctrine of the perfect Bible. He once upon a time held on to it, but now he changed his mind. To give up, my heart is moved. And the Lord says now, you don't let your heart be moved. You stabilize your heart. How to stabilize your heart? How to make sure that my heart will not be moved by the failures of others around me, whom once upon a time looked so strong and so secure and steady, but no longer. How to make sure that my heart is stable? Two ways. Number one, you have to make sure that your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is based upon God's truth, based upon God's promises, not your feelings. When we first accepted Christ as Lord and as Savior, the Bible described it as first love. It's full of feeling. It's full of warmness and strong emotions in our soul for the Lord Jesus Christ with very little knowledge. And so at the first sight of our stumbling, when we fall into sin, we can become very discouraged. We can become very doubtful even of our salvation, asking ourselves, maybe my confession a few weeks ago may not have been true and genuine. And so we pray the prayer of salvation all over again just to make sure. Because at that point in time, our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ was based upon emotion, feelings. But then slowly, little by little, you study God's word. And the more you study God's word, the more your mind is filled, it's soaked with the knowledge of the excellency of the Lord Jesus Christ. Like the Apostle Paul, that's why his heart was stable. That's why he was able to share with Luke and his companions, I'm ready not only to go to prison for Christ, but to die for Christ. So even in the face of death, his heart was still stable. The Word of God, because the Word of God is unchanging. The Word of God is anchored in the person of God, who is immutable in his omniscience, omnipotent, and his omnipresence. And that's why it is beyond and above our feelings. Because sometimes we may not feel very saved. We may not feel very, very much in love with our Savior. And yet, our heart is still stable. We will not be moved. We will not compromise. We will hold on to our faith. We will hold on to holiness regardless. That's why we have to stabilize our heart. That's the manner of our patience. The second thing, keep your love for the Lord Jesus Christ alive. That's the key. Love him with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. You know, the greatest enemy to our love for Christ is the love of fellow human beings, especially those who are closest to us. For us as parents, it will be our children. Our love for our children can become our greatest enemy in robbing us of our love for Christ. How many parents have stumbled and fallen by the wayside because they have allowed their love for their children to cause them to sin and to disobey the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that happens, you realize that their heart was not that stable, because when it came time for them to choose the Lord Jesus Christ or your child or your mom or your dad, they chose mom, dad, son, daughter over Christ. And so their heart was not as stable as they once thought. And that is why it is so important to stabilize our heart in these two ways. Fill it with the knowledge of the Word of God so that emotions will take second place in your relationship with the Lord to remain in holiness. Second, your love for the Lord Jesus Christ must be your singular, only love above all else. No other love must come even close. It must be compared to love and hate. That's the comparison, love and hate. Because if it is not, the love for the Lord Jesus Christ will be compromised one day. And then we will no longer be patient. We will have fallen. And the only way is to come back to the Lord. It could be our grandchildren as grandparents. Whatever, whoever, maintain your love for the Lord Jesus Christ and let him be your first and only true love, so that all your other love must be subservient to this love. And this love is the only kind of love that will teach us how to love everyone and everything else correctly. That's why it is so important. That's why it has to be so singular and it has to be so focused. That's how our heart will be stable. Keep your love for the Lord alive, and it will sustain for the next 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years, as you see in Daniel's life. Stabilize your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And so this patience extends until the Lord returns, and the Lord now assures us it's near. And that was written 2,000 years ago. And tonight, when we read verse 8b, stabilize your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. It is real. It is very real. The return of the Lord Jesus Christ is closer than we think. Are you ready? Hold on to your life of holiness to the very end. Be patient. We need patience now more than at any time in the history of the church, because we are truly living in the last of the last days. Are our eyes so dull and so dense that we cannot see? Look at our world. You think this world is going to come out of its complete chaos, the physical world, it's in itself winding down. Winter, extreme cold. Summer, extreme heat. Storms and typhoons, tsunamis, unheard of. Winds that blow at 200 plus kilometers per hour. Devastation. And then you look at how mankind, with the nations of our world, in great chaos and confusion, with this virus mix into it. This world is hopeless. It is winding down. The entire system is collapsing, waiting for the rise of the end time one world ruler called the Antichrist, the son of perdition, the beast of the book of Revelation. The coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ draweth nigh. So brothers and sisters in Christ, hold on. Be patient until the Lord returns. The reward of patience would be the precious fruits. The lives of the people around you will be touched for Jesus' sake. And the manner of our patience is our heart. Stabilize it with God's truth and with a close walk with our Savior. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank and praise Thee, for truly Thou art a patient God. Teach us, therefore, as thy blood-bought children, to follow in your footsteps, to be patient, to endure to the very end whatever the lot in life that you have prepared for each and every one of your children. For we know that as our loving Heavenly Father, you will not allow us to be tempted above that which we are able to bear, for thou art faithful, and with every temptation thou wilt make a way of escape, that we will be able to bear under it. We pray, Father, for some who may have succumbed to sin and failed to remain patient, steadfast, unmovable, and they are no longer abounding in the work of the Lord. May Thou be gracious and merciful tonight to bring repentance and restoration in such a soul's life, and cause this person, O Lord, to come back to the Lord in true humility and repentance, and bring this person back unto Thyself, so that his life of witness may be restored and resumed once more, so that the people around him may be blessed by his life of holiness once again, for Jesus' sake. And to all brothers and sisters in Christ, O Lord, who are facing trials and challenges and difficulties, and might be thinking of giving up and murmuring and complaining, O Lord, may Thy Holy Spirit whisper peace to their heart, and to know that You will never leave us alone to fend for ourselves, and You will always be there for us. Help us, O Lord, to lean upon You and to trust in You now more so than at any time in our lives. With the pandemic, with the economy of the world in chaos, with the fear of no jobs and loss of jobs in so many lives, Your children's lives, help us to know that our Heavenly Father is in total, absolute control. Help us, O Lord, to continue to seek first Thy kingdom and Thy righteousness, and continue to look up to You and to trust in You to provide all that we need on this earth to remain a holy witness for the Lord Jesus Christ until the Lord returns, which is very near. Forgive us, O Lord, of all our sins, and may Thy Holy Spirit bless our hearts tonight with Thy word, and sanctify Thy people by Thy truth, truly, for Thy word is truth. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.